The holy highway of this life is our walking through life right now with eternity in mind. And knowing by Psalms 84, which is our lesson today, that there are times of stress, there are times of sorrow, there are times of tribulations and suffering. But that's not only part of it, it's actually advantageous for others. Okay? It actually is ordained. It's something that's good. All right, so let's play the song.
Would you say, Barry?
Well,
When I said glory, I was just thinking of that.
Tell us about it.
Repeating to myself what they that first or second line where it said, there is a holy highway that once was a desert land.
Come on.
And that says it all, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right. You didn't know it, but there was a lady in the audience in that film named Annette Wright. I used to sing in our choir here. You have to know her to pick her out. But what I want y'all to do, Judy and I will be going to Illinois Friday, and I'll be preaching up there on the weekend. I want y'all to pray for me. One of the messages will be a 10 o'clock healing service on Sunday. And I've done it before up there, and people have been healed before.
Praise God.
That's one of Reggie's gifts.
Through Baca to Jerusalem, Psalms 84. Think about the writer of this psalm as you read it. He is traveling from somewhere in Israel to Jerusalem to visit the tabernacle of God. This is what they call a song of ascension. When they traveled to Jerusalem, going up hills up to Jerusalem, some of the psalms are the psalms that they actually sang as they went up there. Remember, the tabernacle was where the presence of God was. In the first few verses, he expresses how he loves and almost cannot wait to experience God. He is passionate about getting into God's presence. That's the writer of the psalm. Then the psalm tells about the trials he must go through on the way to Jerusalem in God's presence. He must go through Baca, which is a place of weeping. That's what Baca means. However, his tears helps others. His tears helps others. Well, we can view this trip from Jerusalem, Zion, as something that is current. We must look at it as our journey through this life to New Jerusalem, which is the heavens, heavenly heavens. When we see the Lord face to face, we must keep eternity in our hearts. So two ways you can take this. As you're walking through life and you overcome stuff, and you get into God's presence because you've been through weeping, that's good. Also, the journey through life. On our way to New Jerusalem. Regarding weeping, before I get into this, some people, not everybody has the ability to weep. Some people weep inside without actually shedding tears, and some people, like me, shed them maybe a little bit too quickly. But weeping can be, when we're reading about it here, it can be just something in your inner self. As you're going through something, okay? All right, I've got Psalms 84, mostly in the Amplified Bible. And the writer starts out and says, how lovely are your tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Remember, the tabernacle was the place where the presence of God was at that time. My comment is, this man is hungry for the one-to-one presence of God. But we get a glimpse of that here. However, our important journey is into eternity. I believe that we need to always, as believers, be hungry to make contact with God here. Be hungry. Whatever it takes. Verse 2. My soul yearns. That's a pretty passionate cry, isn't it? It's even pines and is homesick for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out and sing for joy to the living God. I looked it up, and the court that he's talking about, that he longs for, is a fenced-in yard or village. It's not the same as the tabernacle that he was passionate about. I believe it can be compared to our fellowship in our churches today. I know there's some people here that say, I can't wait to get to class every week because of the port to church. Or we can collectively experience, where we can collectively experience the presence of God. Because sometimes, you know, you experience the presence of God and you're just in a dark room with your Bible or a little light on or early in the morning, or that's good. But you also do it in groups. And that's our prayer for this group, that the presence of God speaks. It also speaks of the wonderful fellowship we will have with our loved ones in heaven. Think of that. Verse 3, yes, the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord God of hosts, my King and my God. This psalmist admires these birds that were able to build their nest in the temple courtyards near the altars of gods. This guy's passionate. He's, I admire these birds, man. They can build their nest right there and stay there all the time.
Amen.
Verse 4. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are those who dwell. Everybody say dwell. In your house and your presence. They will be singing your praises all the day long. Selah. Pause and calmly think of that. And then I took a verse out of John 15. Blessed to dwell in his house. Compare this to John 15 where it says to abide. John 15, chapter 15, verse 4 starts with, abide in me and I in you. So Jesus wouldn't tell us that if we couldn't live in him and he couldn't live in us. He wouldn't say that to me. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me or lives in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and are burned. If you abide in me, and my what? Words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples. So that's a New Testament idea of abiding in. Like going back on page 1 where it says, blessed, happy, fortunate, be envied are those who abide or dwell in your house. And then the New Testament, Jesus talks about it in John 15. Abiding in God. Verse 5, it's on page 2. Blessed, happy, and fortunate, be envied is a man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. The highway to Zion is the path this man is on, to Jerusalem, to the tabernacle. When we are weak, he is strong. When we can do nothing, that is when God can act. When we can only rely on his strength, not ours. As we walk through life, we are always on the highway to Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, heaven. Keep your mind on the heavenly matters while going through the tribulation of this life. We must seek his tabernacle, his presence now in this life, in order to make it in good standing. I just don't think there's any way you can make it in a good standing unless you really keep your mind on heavenly matters. No matter how things are going in life, that's what gives me the comfort and the peace. Okay, what I'm going through is temporary. Right? What I'm going through is temporary. I've got to keep my mind, how is God going to use this? What's God going to do? And and what's he going to say when I see him?
Hopefully he'll say you didn't focus on what was seen, but what was unseen. And that's what you're focusing on, what is unseen.
Thank you, Barry. And well done. Well done, good and precious servant, right? That's what we want to hear. Okay, here's Baca, verse 6. While passing through the valley of weeping, or Baca, and make it a place of springs, the early rain fills the pool with blessings for others. The valley of Baca in the Bible expanded the valley of weeping of balsam trees. Generally, some of the valleys through which pilgrims had to pass on their way to the sanctuary of Jehovah on Zion, or maybe figuratively a valley of weeping. While we are heading for his tabernacle towards New Jerusalem, we go through Baca, and our tears create a blessing for those who come behind us. Can you imagine that? Here's a place, desert sort of land, and as you're walking through it, you're weeping, and those that you're weeping makes pools of blessings for others who come behind you. Amen? You know, Jesus wept at least twice in the New Testament. And both times it was for other people, not for himself. Luke 19:41, this is not in the lesson. It says, now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. Why did he weep over Jerusalem? Because he saw they weren't connected. He wept. Jesus cried. And then when he was regarding Lazarus in John 11, when he showed up and they said, Lazarus is in the grave, he's been dead for 3 or 4 days. Jesus wept. So it's okay for us to weep, right? It's all right.
It's an interesting reference. I don't. Maybe I'm reading too much into it.
Go ahead.
But the balsam tree, the balsam wood is really lightweight.
Yes.
There's not much to it, and I think of our. Now we're. If you're going through a valley of weeping, it's light and momentary troubles.
Light and momentary troubles. I used to use balsam wood when I was a kid to make model airplanes. But also, I was reading where David, I think it was in one of the Chronicles, asked the Lord, should he attack or should he not attack? And he said, well, when you hear the you'll see me in the balsam trees, I'll go ahead of you. So there's something about that too.
But the mulberry trees.
The mulberry trees and the balsam trees were the same. That's right.
Rustle in the mulberry trees, and I know,
it's done.
Victory's coming.
How's the song go? I know, the move is on.
I didn't plan to sing.
That only goes back to about 1955, I think.
That's an old Pentecostal song. You probably heard it. When you hear that rustle in the mulberry trees, you know the victory's coming, and David knew that.
Amen.
Because he knew that when those soldiers started coming, or he just felt that there would be that victory. When you hear that rustle in the mulberry trees, the move is on. Praise God, praise God, praise God.
And you're going to win, which means that you're going to win the battle. Because it's God that's fighting it, right? Not us. Amen. This man had most likely just passed through the Valley of Baca. During his trip, he was more than willing to go through the weeping experiences of life just to reach God's presence. But also he was happy that his weeping experiences helped others who came on behind him. That's a big deal. It's a big, big deal. We have some personal experiences, I'm not sure. I'm not saying this in any exalting way or anything, but I've got in my notes right here on Psalms 94 in my Bible that those 17 books we wrote, most of them were written with weeping, but they're blessing people all over the world. When we journey through this life, there will be weeping if we really follow the Lord. However, the psalm states that our weeping fills the pools with water for those that come behind, so they may also make it. The Valley of Baca was a dry place. Our tears made it pools of water for others to pass on after us. And then I quote, in here I only quote Psalms 126.6, but I want to 126.5. I want to do Psalm 20. Excuse me, I want to do Psalm, I've got it written on a separate piece of paper. I'm going to read Psalms 126, 5 and 6, okay? It says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth reaping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bring his sheaves with him. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing. Why do you think that it says that you're going forth weeping as you sow the seed? If you think about it. You don't do that, I don't think, when you're really sowing seed for corn, do you? But when you're sowing seed for others, amen? It's during your weeping experiences. There will be a time in the New Jerusalem when God will say to you, thank you for walking in trust with me during your weeping experiences, because look at these thousands of people here that benefited from what you went through. That will actually occur. No matter how much deliverance or non-deliverance you get here in this world, no matter what happens in this life, you have no idea. But if you walk continually trust in the Lord, always knowing that even the weeping experiences are bearing seed. How could our walking through the valley of Baca in our lives actually work out for the good of others? Question mark. The answer is the blood covenant changes all things. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. We have to continually, I mean, we get up in the morning, we go to work, or we do this, or we do that, we have a checklist to do. Sometimes it's hard to remember that God lives inside of us. And that we're inside of him. We've got to get that. Because through the blood covenant, what happened was, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life, through the blood covenant, what happened was, every bad thing that potentially or in you was put on Jesus at the cross. Everything. And everything in Jesus' character through the blood covenant was put inside of you. Just think about that. I've been crucified with Christ in Galatians. Nevertheless, I live. It's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Amen? Keep your mind on the blood covenant.
Larry Manson?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, we know a lot of you, and we know that you've gone through train wrecks, Cynthia, terrible times. You didn't have any other choice except to trust God. But God brought you through, didn't he, Cynthia? God's given you the joy of the Lord. I know others who have gone through horrible times, and all you could do was just keep on praising God and trusting God. But you know what? The Lord has a way of coming through all of that. And somehow we're shedding something in our own lives that we needed to shed. I don't know what all that means, but somehow we're growing through that. And hopefully we're encouraging somebody else to just keep growing in the Lord too. Because I know everybody has things they go through. We don't want to make this class all about suffering, but at the same time, we want to encourage people that are going through things, because when you're going through things, the enemy likes to point his finger at you and say, you know, you did this and you did that and you caused this.
And if you didn't do this or that, you wouldn't be suffering like this.
Because he's the accuser of the brethren, isn't he?
Yeah.
But we know that we're overcoming. Revelation 12:11 says we overcome him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives to the death. Whatever it takes to keep standing, just keep on standing until we see the victory. And the victory will come. The victory will come.
I'm not sure there's anybody in the New Testament. Yes, David, before I say that, I want you to say something.
When we go through trials and tribulations and we trust the Lord, he sees us through us, it creates the weeping, the testimony.
Amen.
And we love not our life to the death, but through our testimony we witness to other people.
Amen.
And God blesses us even more.
You got it,
David.
You see, it's a test that produces the testimony.
The Apostle Paul probably was more effective than anybody I know in the New Testament. But why did he say in 2 Corinthians, I think it's 12, about the thorn in the flesh? When he begged Jesus, two or three times to take it away. Jesus, I don't need to take it away. The grace I've given you is enough for you. And without going through, we might teach this lesson next week, I'm not sure. After he understood what Jesus was saying, he's saying, you know, hundreds or thousands of people are getting saved because of what I'm going through. So it's okay. I actually like this. It's okay. It's okay. Let me have it. Let me have it. Let me go through what I'm going through. I've been shipwrecked twice. I've been beat on the back. How many times? You know, It's okay. Every time I'm going through something, it's so other people get saved. Even when he was in prison, people were getting saved.
And we don't even know it.
Well, we don't even know. That's right.
We won't know until we get up there.
Come on now. It might be in Africa somewhere. That's right.
It might be next door.
Might be next door.
We don't, a lot of times, God just doesn't reveal what our testimony has done to somebody else. Or for somebody.
What's that? That's what Benjamin Mann do. If you were here last week, that's what they went through. And look what's going on. Now they're on their way to Sierra Leone to start another church there. And they saw a church in Guinea that they started when they were suffering. And they just saw it recently, and it's flourishing. Look at Tom Yang, imprisoned, having to hide all the time. How many church leaders is he preparing now? Over 1,000? Thousands of churches.
Underground churches.
Underground churches.
But it's been God that's done it. Because he didn't know what he was doing. You see, that's the beauty of God. Because when you're just faithful, believe me, Tom was suffering.
Oh, yeah.
We've been there. We know that. And we know even in the last few years.
The fear that he's battled from being put into prison just because of his faith or his testimony. We've been there. We've seen. When we were there 7 years ago, they were hiding their little girl out because the government wanted to get her. You see all these little Chinese girls that are adopted? It's because the government gets them and adopts them out to another part of the world. And they were hiding their little girl. They had a little boy who was about 5 or 6, and the little girl was 1. Eventually, they got the money to make her legal in China so they could keep her. We just have no idea what they went through during this time, or even what they're going through now. But somehow God is using that faith. Did they hurt? Oh yeah, they hurt pretty bad. And everybody has a different calling in life. Everybody, we all have a different walk. And we just have to keep trusting God in our own personal walk.
I think along those lines, we hear these grandiose stories about missionaries doing huge things and impacting hundreds of thousands. But let's not forget what it looks like in our own lives. You know, I don't know how many times I've gone through a struggle and I've, you know, waded through the mud and gone through all the stuff and, you know, talked to people about it. And then years later, I'll have somebody come back to me and say, oh, when you and your husband were going through that time and you talked to me about it and your marriage is strong now. You know, when I wanted to leave my husband, I looked back and I thought about what you did. And so, you know, yes, it's the thousands and the hundreds of thousands, but it's also in our daily, day-to-day struggles,
well,
the way we're living out our lives.
Says you're weeping.
Yeah.
Make fools of blessings for others.
Right. And it's just the little, tiny, tiny, the little things, too. It's not just
yes.
The big stuff.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely. Thank you. That was
powerful. Romans on page 3 of Romans 8 also answers the question, how could walking through the valley of Baca in our lives actually work out for the good of others? The second answer to that question is on page 3, Romans 8:29, and we know that all things, how many things?
All things.
Work together for good to those who, number one, love God. And what is love God? If you want to simplify that, it means to obey him. That's what he said. Who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Even our mistakes work together for good. Sometimes I find that hard to believe because I get very guilty about my mistakes. How do you do that, God? How do you make your mistakes? All right, anyway. Continue in Psalms 84, verse 7. They go from strength to strength, increasing in victorious power. Who does? People that walk through Baca. Each of them appears before God in Zion. Strength to strength means to me persevering in our trials as we walk through Baca to Zion, the presence of God. Now the psalmist goes back to praying while he's walking near to Zion in verses 8 through 12. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer, give ear. Remember, this guy's walking, okay? O God of Jacob, pause and kindly think of that, Selah. Behold our shield, the king is your agent. O God, look up upon the face of your anointed, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I'd rather be a doorkeeper and stand at the threshold in the house of my God than to dwell at ease in the tents of wickedness. Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows present grace and favor and future glory and honor, splendor, and heavenly bliss. No good thing will he withhold for those who walk uprightly. O Lord God of hosts, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied is the man who trusts in you, leaning and believing in you, committing all and confidently looking to you, that without fear or misgiving. I've got some commentaries here, then a couple of devotions. Out of the MacArthur Study Bible, this psalm, like other psalms of ascent, expresses the joy of the pilgrim traveling to Jerusalem, then up into the temple to celebrate one of the feasts. The pilgrim focuses his attention especially on the thought of being in the very presence of the Lord God. Expectation of worship. Psalms 84:1. Lovely is your dwelling place. The temple worship center was lovely, page 4, because it enabled the Old Testament saint to come into the presence of God. Psalms 84:2. He longs and he faints. He sings for the psalmist consumed with his happy but intense desire to worship God in the temple. 84:4. Blessed, this word is used 3 times to describe the happiness of those who, like the sons of Korah, lodged around the house of God. The Valley of Baca, Psalms 84:6. Baca can be translated as weeping or balsam tree. The valley was an arid place on the way to Jerusalem. They make it a place of springs. The pilgrims traveling to a festival worship at Jerusalem. They turn an arid valley into a place of joy, just like some of the testimonies we just heard. An arid valley into a place of joy. They go from strength to strength. Anticipation of joyous worship of God in Jerusalem overcame the pilgrims' natural weariness in their difficult journey to Zion. Psalms 84:9, behold our shield, a metaphor for the king who will also have participated in a festival at the temple, the face of your anointed. The king is regularly described as God's anointed. The psalmist that thus prays that God would look upon the king with favor, blessing his reign with prosperity. 84:10, the doorkeeper. One day standing at the door of the temple, or just being near, even if not inside, was better than 1,000 days fellowshipping with the wicked. Sun and a shield. This pictures God's overall provision and protection. Now, I knew this was a pretty short lesson, so I added some devotions to see if we had time to read some. This first one is from a fellow named Dallas Willard. Something I read every morning. God's shining face. And the reason I picked this out is because that's what this man was after. He was after God's shining face. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Comes out of Psalms 31:16. Have you ever watched a child who loves her father, but the father's face is continually distracted away from the child, not shining upon her? Have you been in that place yourself? Did you experience your father or mother's turning away from you in anger and withdrawal? When their faces did not shine, but instead scowled at you or ignored you, communication was cut off. And I pray right now, Lord, anyone in the sound of my voice that went through this, that they would be healed by the blood of the Lamb. You were agonized by it until you learned to harden your heart against it. In a similar way, a certain communication is absolutely necessary to have in our kind of confidence and peace and appropriate to a child of God. Without real communication from God, our view of the world is impersonal, however glorious we may find God's creation. There is all the difference in the world between having a general view, that is our Father's world, or even that God has arranged for our eternal redemption, and having confidence based in experience that the Father's face is turned towards us, shining upon us, that the Father is speaking to us individually. This man who was walking to Jerusalem knew that if he could get there, he'd see God's shining face. He knew it. And if we're walking through the trials of life, we'll know that we'll see God's shining face in this life and in the next. It's worth it. Yes, sir.
I'm a little perplexed. I infer from this fellow walking from Baca to Jerusalem that he had to, he was going to a certain place, the temple, let's say, Jerusalem,
yes,
to experience God.
Exactly.
However, if we have the New Testament, and it doesn't matter whether, for instance, Blaine and I were driving down Arnold Mill Road at Woodstock after leaving a nursing home there the other day.
Right.
And within three or four blocks, there were as many churches, three or four churches, at least, maybe more. And we no longer have to travel to that church where he has stretched that house of God because of the blood covenant that's mentioned. I don't think there's any difference between you at home reading Dallas Willard's devotion in the morning, or whether you're here.
That's right. The traveling is inside of us, isn't it? It's something we do inside of us. We travel.
Okay, not the physical.
Not the physical.
Okay.
The traveling is in here. I don't feel any peace. I'm lost. I don't know what's going on. I'm weeping. Well, it's okay. I'm going through the Valley of Baca. I'm heading towards, in the next 30 or 40 minutes, I hope I see God's face. And, of course, then make it lifetime. I know I'm going to see God's face. Because when I die, amen? So there's two types of traveling. One is actually walking through this life until we go to heaven. And the other is walking through now. Sometimes it takes a while to get into this, but sometimes things are so bad, it takes a while to see his face. Some of our traveling is about repenting. Our traveling is about getting alone. Our traveling is about taking some steps. Are you with me? Thank you for that comment. I think this next devotion comes from Streams in the Desert. Some of the plunder taken in battle they dedicated, this is on page 5, for the repair of the temple of the Lord. 1 Chronicles 26. Great physical force is stored in the depths of the earth, in places such as coal mines. Coal was produced by the tremendous heat that burned the ancient forest. In the same way, spiritual force is stored in the depths of our being and is brought about by the very pain we cannot understand. Someday we will see that the plunder taken in battle from our trials, like our testimony was right here, was simply preparing us to become like Great Heart in Pilgrim's Progress, so we too could lead our fellow pilgrims triumphantly through trials to the city of the King. But we may never forget that the source of learning to help others must be the experience of victorious suffering. Whining and complaining about our pain never does anybody any good. Paul never carried the gloom of a cemetery around with him, but a chorus of victorious praise. The more difficult his trial, the more he trusted and rejoiced. Shouting from the very altar of sacrifice, he said, "Even if I am poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you." Philippians 2:17. Lord, help me today to draw strength from everything that comes to me from the days of heaven upon earth. He placed me in a little cage away from garden spare, but I must sing the sweetest songs because he placed me there. Not beat my wings against the cage, if it's my maker's will, but raise my voice in heaven's gate and sing louder still. From Streams in the Desert.
That's really powerful, that last stanza.
The
it's a bird. It's like, blossom where you're planted. Don't complain. You know, do the best you can do right now.
Wait a minute.
I was just going to say, it's very pretty, that last stanza. You know, blossom where you're planted. Do the best you can do. Even if you're pumping out a septic tank, do the best job you can do to be thankful that you're moving and about.
That's it.
Be thankful. You know, that's every day. It's you got to be thankful.
Thank you. One more devotion here. And this is also from Streams in the Desert. The spirit shrieked, convulsing him, and violently came out, Mark 9:26. Evil never surrenders its grasp without a tremendous fight. We've got to remember. Sometimes it's hard to remember because evil is invisible. Demons, principalities, powers, workers of darkness, even people making curses happen. You can't see them, So sometimes we forget that we are in a war. When we were called to the Lord, we weren't called to sit in a little pantry with desserts all around us. We were called to pick up weapons. Huh? Weren't we? We're called to pick up weapons because there is a battle. Not only against us, but for the people through us. Okay? We never arrive at any spiritual inheritance to the enjoyment of a picnic, but always to the fierce conflicts of the battlefield. And it's the same in the deep recesses of the soul. Every human capacity wins its spiritual freedom, does so at the cost of blood. Satan is not put to flight by our courteous request. He completely blocks our way, and our progress must be recorded in blood and tears. We need to remember this, or else we will be held responsible for the arrogance of misinterpretation. When we were born again, it is not into a soft and protected nursery, but into the open countryside where we actually draw our strength from the distress of the storm. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, as in Acts 14:22. Faith of our fathers living still in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword, oh, how our hearts beat high with joy. Whenever we hear that glorious word, faith, our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death, our fathers chained in prisons dark. We're still in the heart of conscience free. How sweet would be their children's fate if they, them, could die for thee.
Two years ago, my niece had a traumatic childbirth without giving too many details and sustained an injury. She's had six surgeries over the last 2 years. The baby's now two. And they are not going to be able to repair the damage that was done. So she'll have a permanent colostomy. So they're going to do that tomorrow, the surgery. And while it's a sign of hope that she can move on with her life and won't have to undergo the surgeries anymore, there's also a certain amount of grief that's going to take place because that will not ever be able to be repaired. She's 27, young girl. This was her first baby. So like I said, tomorrow morning's the surgery at Piedmont. So if we could pray for her. Danica?
Can we all pray for Danica?
Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we just lift up this little baby to you, and we just pray, Lord, that your hand would be on that surgery tomorrow, Lord, that you just would stabilize every little part of that baby and its vital signs, and you'd be with every doctor and be with the mom, and Lord, we just pray that baby would be just an example of what we're talking about today, about your grace in situations that seem challenging, that we're going to have to overcome in life. And we just bless that baby, bless that mother, and bless every part of that baby's walk with you, Lord. That this would not be a curse, but turn into a blessing, Lord.
Amen.
God. And I just lift up us today too, Lord God. I just thank you for the little bird that came to my window this morning, Lord, and how it's so beautiful that it's echoed in this poetic and beautiful psalm. And Lord, it just reminds me that you want us to sing to you like the birds do in the morning. They don't think about it. They don't say it's raining. I don't like this. They just sing because of the beauty of who you are. And I just pray, Lord, that any expectations that we have, Lord, that aren't good, that you know we've learned over the years where we're bitter, God, I ask you to wash those away and help us to come into your house with joyful praising today, Lord. And we just thank you and we praise you for being our dwelling place. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Enjoy.